Hi, and welcome to another Year 12 Biology podcast for Logan Park High School. Because we're looking at the basic bits and pieces of cell biology, I'm going to look at the two big processes that go on in cell biology, photosynthesis and respiration. I'm going to do a brief overview of them because if you look into them in any real depth in a book, you'll find pages and pages and pages with huge numbers of diagrams and chemical formulae. But we're going to do a brief overview. So, start with photosynthesis. Life has evolved a method for capturing the sun's energy, and that method is photosynthesis. Sun's energy gets turned into chemical energy by plants, and every other living thing has developed ways of using that energy to power themselves. The chemical reactions that do the powering are called respiration. So, looking first at photosynthesis. Plants are adapted to do photosynthesis. And so to look at that, we actually need to look more closely at the leaves. I'm not sure if you've thought about it, but leaves are really, really thin and flat and usually waterproof on the top. And if you look some more about it than that, you'll find that they're actually darker green on the top side and lighter green on the bottom. And if you look even more closely, you'll find there's a whole lot of little holes in the bottom that gas can get into, and actually leaves are full of gas. So that's the raw materials of photosynthesis. That's how it gets in. The carbon dioxide is the gas that gets in through the little holes and gets into the green parts of the leaf. If you look at the green top parts of the leaf more closely, you zoom in and you start to see the brick-shaped cells of the plant, and the green things are actually little oval-shaped organs inside it. They're called organelles. These organelles are chloroplasts. Magnifying it even more, you'll see that the green bags have actually got what looks like stacks of really dark green plates inside them. The plates are stacks of membrane called thylakoids, and the actual stack itself is called a grana. Now, we need to keep a picture on this so that we can understand some more about photosynthesis. So, plants get their raw materials, they get the carbon dioxide in through the holes, they get water up through the roots and through their plumbing system, and light falls on the top surface, which is darker green. Plants capture the light energy using a molecule called chlorophyll, which makes plants look green. It looks green to us. That's because, if you remember your spectrum, it absorbs red and blue light and leaves the green stuff to bounce off for us. So, first part, light hits chlorophyll. The chlorophyll molecule captures that light and converts it into chemical energy, specifically ATP and NADPH, which are the two things which are actually the energy currency of the cell. So the chemical energy is those things, is the photo part, light, photo, converted into this kind of chemical energy. That happens in the chlorophyll molecules which are in the membrane, the thylakoid membranes which are found on those stacks of plates inside the little green oval thing inside the plant cell. Then you get the synthesis part. That's also called light independent. It doesn't need light to be shining on it. All the energy has been stored as ATP and NADP, NADPH. And it then has to go somewhere. And what they do is they grab carbon dioxide molecules, one carbon, and form them into six carbon chains, pretty much, carbohydrates. All that energy from the ATP goes to hooking the carbon dioxide molecules in, adding the water into it, and it leaves oxygen as a waste product. So, plants use carbon dioxide and water. Those two things get stuck together by light energy captured in the chlorophyll, and made into carbohydrate, and oxygen is a waste product. The big deal about photosynthesis is that it's the way that all life on Earth gets its energy. That means that plants make their own food, and the word we use for that is autotroph. So autotrophs make their own food, and everything else eats autotrophs, or eats something that did eat an autotroph. So plants, solar energy falling on plants, forming that chemical energy, is the basis for all food chains and all the energy for all life on Earth. Okay, so now time to look for the other complicated process, and that's respiration. First thing we need to know is that in biology, respiration's not breathing. It's actually burning food to get energy. Now, if we burn food all in one go, and you'll know this if you set fire to fat on the stove at home, or you set fire to toast, that energy is not in a usable form. It ends up being black and stinky, and you get a lot of heat out of it, and your kitchen burns down or anything like that. So, in biology, the cool thing about respiration is that it's developed a way to chop the energy up into little bite-sized chunks and store it in a way that we can use it. But the interesting sidebar of that is, of course, that if you look at the back of your muesli bar or your packet of chips or anything else that's got that nutrition table on it, the nutrition table will list the energy content in kilojoules or calories or something like that. And that is actually burning the food in pure oxygen all at once to try and to get it converted into energy. They use the energy to heat water, and that's actually what a calorie is. So the energy content is how much energy you get out in your body using respiration, but also how much energy you get if you actually just set the thing on fire in pure oxygen. Okay, but the cool thing about respiration is that it's a series of chemical reactions that chops our food up in little tiny bits and uses it. Now, we talk about a sort of general food stuff. In this case, it's called glucose, same as it is for photosynthesis. Respiration looks, as a reaction, like photosynthesis backwards. So it's glucose burning out with the six oxygens and making six carbon dioxides and six waters. Six carbons and glucose are all ripped into little tiny little bits, pulled off one at a time, actually, and made into CO2. And that stashes a whole lot of energy. And I mentioned before the energy currency of cells, and that's stuff called ATP. So ATP is the energy currency. That's how cells capture that stuff. Okay, so it sounds as if I'm rambling. Respiration takes place in the cell cytoplasm and in the mitochondria. So photosynthesis in the chloroplast, the green oval-shaped organelles in cells, and respiration takes place in mitochondria. Actually, it's a two-stage thing. Glucose, or all kinds of other food, get turned into glucose. That's why all the respiration reactions start as glucose. Glucose gets into the cell, and a series of reactions break it down. Usually, they just break the 6-carbon glucose into 2 3-carbon things, and called pyruvate, and they get 2 ATPs from that. That's anaerobic respiration. The hardcore part of respiration comes when that stuff gets into the mitochondria. And you know the mitochondria have got like an inner membrane and an outer membrane. So the stuff gets into the mitochondria, and there's a huge series of chemical reactions that break the 2-3-carbon sugars down into carbon dioxide. So it gets the carbons off one at a time and stores any of the energy that was in those chemical bonds as ATP, the energy currency of the cell. So, doing aerobic respiration, what happens in the mitochondria, gets another like 12 to 14 times as much ATP. So aerobic respiration is good. The other thing, I just said aerobic, that also tells you that oxygen gets used in the mitochondria, actually in the inside membrane, on the wiggly bits when you're drawing the inside of mitochondria. The inner membrane, what are called the cristae. That's where the oxygen gets used. If there's no oxygen, you've got anaerobic respiration, a couple of ATP. If you've got lots of oxygen, aerobic respiration, 34 to 36 ATP, depending on the book you read and where you look at it. It's more than 10 times as efficient. Other thing about anaerobic respiration is that those little 3-carbon sugars have to go somewhere and they get turned into, if it's you exercising anaerobically, lactic acid. Your muscles get tired, you get sore. If it's yeasts or stuff like that, they run out of oxygen, they do anaerobic respiration, they make alcohol. But the thing to remember is, because like alcohol's got energy in it, you can burn it, so the energy's still there and it hasn't all been taken out. So anaerobic respiration's much, much less efficient than aerobic respiration. And aerobic respiration takes place in mitochondria. Overall, glucose uses 6 oxygens, and the 6 carbons of glucose get chopped up into 6 carbon dioxides, and 6 waters, and lots of energy. So, photosynthesis and respiration look like sort of opposites of each other. Photosynthesis takes carbon dioxide and water and puts it together into a 6-carbon sugar using the sun's energy. Respiration breaks those six carbon sugars down into six carbon dioxides and six waters and gives energy for the cell or for heterotrophs to live. There we go. That's a quick and dirty overview of photosynthesis and respiration. Okay, thanks.